following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I found myself in a unique situation last winter of deciding if it was time to pursue my dream of playing in the NFL.
Option play near side. Pitch back to Amir. He gets a nice shield block on the edge. Amir to the 40, 35, first down, 30. Amir cutting back to the middle field. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Amir dives. Touchdown, Nebraska. What a spectacular run by Amir Abdullah.
I've come to realize that life is bigger than football and that my chances of long-term success in life will be greatly enhanced by completing my college education.
Sails toward the goal line. Abdullah grabs it right at the goal line. Amir to the 10, 15, 20. He's got a seam. 25. Cuts to the outside. Oh, what a move. 40-yard line to midfield. He is gone. Amir Abdullah.
It's truly an honor to play for this program, to represent the N, and to one day walk across that stage with my diploma in hand.
Just a four-man rush. Armstrong to the sideline. Here he comes, Abdullah.
Wow.
And Abdullah still on his feet. Lester can't throw the block. Amir Abdullah all the way home. Touchdown, Nebraska.
I'm Amir Abdullah, and I play for Nebraska.
Trips to the near side. Kellogg gets a shotgun snap. Final play of the game. Ron waiting for the wideouts to get downfield. Launches the throw down toward the goal line. Going up. Ball tipped in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Jordan Westerkamp. Nebraska wins the game on the final play of the contest. Oh, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a scene in Lincoln, baby.
Nebraska will snap the ball a length of the football away from the goal line. And they want to throw. What a play call. Anunua. He's going to go 99 yards. Holy cow, what a call.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those.
Oh, they don't have them yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown.
Going to Kenny Bell. Going to make the catch at the 1. Kenny to the 10, 15, 25. Kenny to the 30. He's got some room. Kenny Bell to the 40. Kenny Bell's got one man to beat the kicker. To the 50, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. A 98-yard kickoff return for Kenny Bell.
They're going to put it down, yep, at the 47-yard line. If he were to hit it, it'll go in the books as the longest in school history. This is an attempt of 57 yards. Does he have enough? Is it long enough? He got it!
Sam Fultz gets a good snap. Good boomy kick. This one's sailing towards the end zone. Bounces at the 3. Takes a Husker hop. Huskers will down it inside the 5. Sam Burt scooped it up and held on to it at the 1-yard line. Terrific punt of 52 yards.
Eric Crouch pumps once. He's in trouble. Eludes a tackle. Gets out of the end zone. He's to the 5. He's to the 10. Crouch to the 15. Out across the 20. Crouch to the 25. Out across the 30. 35, 40. Look out. He could go. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. He's to the 10.
Sumner gets a shotgun snap, throws over the middle, intercepted, picked up, Randy Gregory, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, a pick six for big old Randy Gregory. Back in the pocket, steps up, getting rushed, getting hit, getting dropped with a 25, a loose six more, Jared Crick gets another sack, his ninth of the year and his sixth in 2 weeks. Michigan with a ball, their own 39-yard line. Gardner turns, straight hand off to Green, hit the backfield, Huskers, Corey Cooper drills him, he loses 2 yards.
Phillips up the middle, explodes, 20, cuts to the right, and Phillips is out of bounds at the 11-yard line.
Zone read, hand off to Cross, big hole, 45-40, 35-30, Amani 25-20, 15-10-5, touchdown Amani Cross, oh baby!
Rodgers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's to the 45, he's to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home!
And a snap to Tommy and they give him the trap play and it's Schlesinger inside the 5, in there for the touchdown, he's got the touchdown!
History 13-0 and bring the
morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're live at Pinnacle Bank Arena for this football/volleyball Friday. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan back at the studios. Jimmy, I don't know, is it football or is it volleyball or is it just deer season?
It's probably all those, Duck. I didn't know you were going to ask me that question, so I'm just going to go, it's all of those. But I guarantee you one thing. If I'm a referee, I would much rather be refereeing volleyball than football today.
Oh, no doubt about it. We head into the state semifinals tonight. We've got a Kearney Catholic doubleheader. We've got St. Cecilia volleyball. It's all coming up later. We've got a ton of stuff to talk about. Fanatics Friday fan quiz is coming up as well. But we have got a full slate of guests. If we get them all on, Kurt Polt, the Giltner volleyball coach, is going to join me here in just a second. We're going to talk with Ron Powell, a Lincoln Journal star, about the tournament so far. We're going to catch up with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report about tonight's semifinals and Monday's D semifinals. And then Brian Munson is going to slide in and give us the latest from Big Red Report on Husker recruiting and the big matchup tomorrow at Wisconsin. And at the end of the show, Jimmy's selections and our pigskin pick'em. But earlier this morning, we had a pair of 9 a.m. games. I had the D1 call as Ansley Litchfield defeated Axtell 25-14, 25-13, and 29-27. And on the Breeze 94.5, Giltner 26-24, 25-21, 25-23 over Exeter Milligan. And Coach Kurt Polt joins us here. And, Coach, you spotted Exeter Milligan a few points today. You guys are playing from behind quite a bit, but it doesn't matter how. You guys got it done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I think it comes back to that same old adage. It's tough to beat somebody three times, especially when we're in your conference and we know each other so well. You know, Darcy had a great game plan against us once again. They're a very athletic team, and they really pushed us to the limit today.
What was different about this meeting than the other two?
I think there's just more at stake. It means a little more to the kids, and so probably a little different thought process coming into the game, and everybody's a little bit tighter, and the team just had to get rid of some jitters today.
Talking about the end of the season, you guys have used the wild card again. You used it to your advantage last year, but you dropped a couple of matches at the end of the season, albeit to decent teams, and I think the girls would probably love to play Lawrence Nelson. It's either them in a rematch of the sub-districts or a rematch of the state final from last year with Stewart. But what was going on the last couple matches of the season that you had to get fixed?
Well, you know, we played really well in our conference tournament and was able to go through and win that. And obviously won the conference tournament game over Exeter Milligan, the team we played today. And I thought we were playing really well. And we went down to Destra in the tournament, and I really thought we had relaxed a little bit. Didn't really play with the fire on defense that we had. And then we got into sub-district game of Lawrence Nelson. And I'll give Lawrence Nelson the credit for that. I didn't think we played that bad that night. Lawrence Nelson also had a great game plan the way they used their left sides against us. And they just played defense out of their minds. So, you know, it was unfortunate that we had to take the wild card and come in after having two straight losses. But the wild card's there for a reason. And the girls played a very strong schedule this year and won the majority of them games and earned that wild card.
Not many teams have the advantage of knowing what to do with the time off between and not playing a district final. What did you learn from the wild card last year that has helped you again this year, just in this time before coming to state?
Well, and this year was different too, because last year we lost in the district final to Bertrand, and this year it was on Monday, and we thought we were in pretty good shape, so we went back to practice on Tuesday right away, and we really kind of had the mindset of, we need to get ourselves right mentally. You know, physically, I thought we were fine. We were the same team we were. But we had to get our mental focus back, and we had to get our hunger back. And we really focused on that in practice for the next week.
We're talking with Giltner volleyball coach Kurt Polt here on the Doug and Daddy Show in Lincoln. His team has advanced to another state championship. And Miss Tompkin had a big, big game again for you today. The official numbers are 11 kills and 9 blocks up front for you.
Yeah, Chaney's been a great addition to our team. As you know, she came to our school last year, but she was ineligible, and she had to sit her 90 days. And so this is the first year she's been able to play with us, and she's been a great addition for us. She really brings a lot of fire to us. She's a lot of fun to watch on the court, and she can go all the way across the net. She can hit off the left and the right, and she's a pretty good force up there at the net when she blocks.
Again, it's a little comical when you flip through the program. And even you expect it when you get to D2, but I look at your picture here in the program, and, man, there's just a handful of girls and you two coaches, and you guys find a way and have had a great program here at Giltner. What's the biggest difference between this year's squad and what won last year for you?
Last year's team played a lot different style. We didn't have the height last year, and we had to use more quickness and athleticism, and we really used probably our serve as our best defense on that team, and the girls bought into that and played well. This year's team doesn't play quite as fast, but we put up a little bigger block, and we still got good firepower. And this team needs consistent serving, probably more importantly than aggressive serving. So it's really been two different teams to coach. It's been a lot of fun.
Giltner coach Kurt Polt will let you wrap it up with this so you can get over there and watch that semifinal. But you've seen Lawrence Nelson. What is it? Because the Twin Valley, and I think all the coaches would agree, in the conference was down this year, and nobody really took charge, even though they were at the top. What did you see from Lawrence Nelson that has shotgunned them and spiraled them through this last couple of weeks?
I think it's without a doubt their defense. Probably the best defensive team we've played all year, and when they're clicking on all cylinders on defense, they are one frustrating team to play because the ball just doesn't hit the floor.
And Stewart, a little familiarity with them, but what if you get them again?
You know, Stewart's going to come at us with more firepower. They have, obviously it's pretty much the same team we've seen last year, but they have two middles and two left sides that got good kill numbers, and they can fire the ball pretty hard. So our defense and our block will have to be ready tomorrow if it's Stewart we see.
Do you have the same breakfast tomorrow as you had today?
Oh, absolutely.
Kurt, we'll let you get over there. Congratulations. We'll see you tomorrow morning, all right?
Thank you very much.
That's Giltner volleyball coach Kurt Polt joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They'll play tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and we'll have it for you on Classic Hits 98.9 because we got the Breeze on the Huskers, or the Huskers on the Breeze, one of those two. Right now, that game in front of us, O'Neill St. Mary's leads Diller O'Dell 19-12 with a timeout here in the first set. But, Jimmy, we've got some volleyball teams that are doing some really good things, and we got some football teams that are going to be doing some really good things, hopefully, over the next couple of days. And we've got some trivia that we need to get to as well. So we're going to do that. Brian Munson of Big Red Report is going to join us. But Jeff is taking care of everything back at the studios, and he has got today's Fanatics trivia question, a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to our friends at Fanatics. Follow the Huskers and the rest of college football as well on the NFL, and one of their 23 high-definition televisions is there for you, including two huge HD projection TVs. They've got custom handcrafted pizzas to enjoy with your choice of toppings, made to your specifications, a wide variety of appetizers, and, of course, the best wings around. Sandwiches, burgers, a kids' menu, doubled the size of Fanatics with their new addition. You may not want to be outdoor in the beer garden for the bullpen, but hey, it's there for you if you like to catch a little fresh air, and maybe instead of yell at the top of your lungs when you're inside so people hear you, can yell while you're outside. And if the game's on, the game's on. Fanatics dedicated to keeping the games on until they are all over, so if you don't have to worry about them turning off a game you want just because it's later in the evening. Fanatics, Jeffrey will take us with our Fanatics Friday Fun Fact. What's our trivia question today? 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Jeff, fire it away.
Thanks, Doug. Kobe Bryant went 10-for-26 against Memphis, giving him 13,421 career missed field goals. He just set the NBA all-time record. Who prior to Kobe Bryant held that record? First correct caller to 888-455-3776 will be your winner. And we'll be back with Brian Munson coming up next.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 19th and 20th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, is bigger than ever this year, with an additional building full of exhibitors ready to help your ag business succeed. Enjoy free lunches and entertainment, and register for a chance to win a new Polaris Sportsman 400. Sponsored by Aurora Cooperative, Farm Credit Services of America, and Kearney Visitors Bureau. The 2014 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 19th and 20th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
Opening soon, NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of our newest rental store at 2608 32nd Street, Suite C. Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact us for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with considerable cloud cover across the area as we continue through the day today with a high of around 27, south winds stay at 10 to 15. Then skies remain cloudy tonight with a low at 16, then light snow develops Saturday. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 21.
Doug and Daddy Show rolls on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda with you, Jimmy Langan in the studios. I'm here at Pinnacle Bank Arena. The state volleyball tournament is going on. O'Neill St. Mary's has taken the first set here in D1 from Diller Odell, 25-16. And the winner gets Ansley Litchfield in the championship tomorrow. Folks, don't forget to vote on the Doug and Daddy Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. Congratulations to Trent, by the way. He knew the answer to our Fanatics trivia question. John Havlicek was the answer. John Havlicek had the most misses. I'd have never got that. Had the most misses in his NBA career until Kobe Bryant broke it. And the beauty for Kobe is he's going to play a lot longer, so he's going to shatter that record. Our Midtown Mart cooler question yesterday, how will the Huskers fare against Wisconsin? Close vote. 43%, Jimmy, are saying the outright loss with no cover. 36% say Nebraska wins outright. 21% says Nebraska loses, but by less than a touchdown. Our predictions are coming up later. Does that surprise you at all?
About what I thought maybe in this area. There was a contest where there's 118 people I'm involved in, and about half of them picked Nebraska to win the game. So a little more, you know, just in this state, we're going to be a little heavy that way.
Our Midtown Mark cooler question today is, what is your outlook for the upcoming Nebraska men's basketball season? They are in the NIT, or worse, they make the NCAA tournament. They make the NCAA tournament and get the program's first ever win, or they go nuts and are in the Sweet 16 or better. What is your outlook for the Nebraska men's basketball team, which will be playing right here at Pinnacle Bank Arena this weekend? Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com, and the Midtown Mart cooler question. And Brian Munson is ready to join us here from Big Red Report. It's time for our Husker recruiting update, which is brought to you by our friends at T&L Irrigation. T&L says it's time to schedule your preventative maintenance program today. T&L wants to make sure you're ready to go next year to assure many more years of reliable irrigation. Performing basic maintenance in the off-season pays you back when the summer heat arrives. Call your independent T&L dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. T&L Irrigation Systems, easier on you for a lifetime. And Brian Munson, Big Red Report, gracious to join us on this Friday. Good morning, Brian. Are you ready for a big game?
I am. I mean, honestly, I took a look at the spread for the first time today. I was a little bit taken aback by it. I really do like Nebraska's chances this weekend if you get 100% out of Amir Abdullah.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because Steve Sippel was with us at our Husker lunch, and my personal opinion has wavered back and forth because, Jimmy, I know we talked about it at the beginning of the year. I thought Wisconsin was overrated, and then they get on a hot streak, and then you look at who they play. So, Brian, from your chair, what is Wisconsin?
I think, honestly, it's obviously Gordon. They got a strong running game. I think that not only is he strong, but he makes bad tackles. I mean, he capitalizes on bad plays. When you want to go out there and tackle him poorly and allow him to break through arm tackles, he hurts you as a result. So they capitalize on your team's mistakes, and they hurt you as a result of it. I think Nebraska has been playing well on the defensive side of the football. I think that though before, you know, we've seen this team get gashed for some yards, particularly in the run game. And I think that, you know, going to Camp Randall is never something to take lightly. It's not an easy situation. It's not a great place to go play. But if you get a chance to go play there at 2:30 versus 6 or 7 at night, you're better off for doing that. So I like the way that kind of sets up better for Nebraska. I like the idea of getting this game out a little bit early and not letting the Bruins do take place in Madison. And I think Tommy Armstrong, you know, has probably had a good session or two with Tim Beck talking about how that Purdue game went and what are some things that should have happened. And I think that also Nebraska's had an opportunity here, you know, with the question marks with Amir Abdullah to go ahead and get guys like Imani Cross and newbie, you know, of ready, more prepared to go ahead and go into Madison and have to play on Saturday.
Hey, Jim Lang in here. I think the special teams are going to be really critical in this game with the weather. I think this is really going to get down to, hey, Nebraska's going to probably make it hard for Wisconsin to run the football. I actually think Wisconsin's going to make it tough for Nebraska to run the football. And I think the special teams are really going to be to the – and both of your thoughts on that.
No, I totally agree with you. I see this one shaking out toward the morning personnel to be the complete difference maker, you know, and how a guy like Drew Brown has got to go out there and not necessarily be automatic, but make the shots that he's supposed to make and not put questions, you know, into the head of Bo Pelini about when he can go ahead and pull Drew out and get 3 points and go back and hopefully the defense is rolling and get a stand up there. But the morning personnel has the capability to break a game wide open. And he's shown it before. He's been close. He's taken a couple back to the house already this season. And I do believe, you know, particularly if you start talking about the weather, you want to take and just say, hey, look, special teams can make the difference here, not just because I can get points out of it, but because they don't hurt me. Because you start talking about that 40-degree temperature, you start bringing in the possibility for precipitation on Saturday. I think overall what you're looking for here is to try to keep the errors down to a minimum. You try to take the turnovers off the plate, and then you try to go out there and capitalize whenever you do have a chance to go ahead and make it hurt against the other team.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on ESPN Radio. Here's what I'll say about that, and then say another comment. No matter what the weather is, Amir Abdullah will not be 100%. There's just no way. He might be 80, 90% and play great. He's not going to be a 100%. Can't be. If he's wearing a brace, he's not 100%. Nebraska has to pass the football. No matter what, that is the weakness of this Wisconsin team. Both teams, even on the run game, I think, they have to pass the football. Here's the deal, though. I don't think this DeMornay Pearson-L deal is going to be big at all, and here's why I tell you that. Wisconsin is so bad punting the football, 119th, but they're 23rd in punt returns. The reason why, the punting is so bad, Brian, that I don't think Pearson-L is going to get a chance to return anything.
Well, I tell you what, I've been taken aback this season so far by the number of teams that have really gone out there and shown all this respect to DeMornay Pearson-L and his abilities. I mean, there have been teams as early as Northwestern in the season where they didn't even want to challenge him. They just wanted to say, look, this guy is not going to hurt me. We're going to go ahead and kick away from him all night long, and we'll go ahead and roll the dice with guys like Tommy Armstrong and Amir Abdullah in that offensive line and say, look, you guys are going to have to beat us because we're not going to let the special teams aspect of Nebraska beat us. And I can definitely see that playing into the game on Saturday. And I agree with you completely about when it comes to Nebraska's passing game. That was a point that I was going to make when it came to the prediction. I think Nebraska is going to have to be effective throwing the football down the field and getting it going to where you're not so hit and miss. We all saw Tommy against Purdue. and how errant some of his throws were. And we know that there were some windy conditions on that Saturday. But, I mean, it's good that this is a guy that continues to grow week by week. You do see that youth, that inexperience come shining through, you know, in moments and in situations. And I would say pretty much for the entire Purdue game, he showed that inexperience and how to deal with the elements. I think it's one of those things that where he's now had a chance to go ahead and put that underneath his belt a little bit. They're going to have to go out there. They know they have to throw the football. They're going to have to be accurate. They're going to have to get those guys open. And I think a guy like, you know, Cotton, who caught a touchdown pass against Purdue, he plays in big to this thing, because Nebraska's going to have to find ways to get balls to the different receivers, including the tight end. That's going to be key on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with Doug, too, about throwing the football. And I agree with you, too, about not turning over the football. That is going to be the key, because I actually think this game could get ugly for either team if they get down two scores. Both these football teams do not want to get behind 14-0 or even 10-0 and try to do things that they aren't really good at, because this weather could come into play. And if it forces your hand to do things that you're not good at, because if you get up 10-0, you don't have to do anything. You could just keep running the ball, just taking what the defense gives you, and punt the football and let the clock work to your advantage.
Yeah, and neither one of these teams wants to have to go back to the drawing board after two drives and being down two scores, like what you said, whether it's 10 points, 13 points, you know, or 14 points, and say, okay, we're going to go back to doing what we do best, and that's run the football, and we're going to try something new. We're going to scrap the game plan. Because that doesn't just, you know, permeate confidence to the players. And you're going to go against the grain with what you've practiced and prepared for the last week and a half or 2 weeks when it comes to this opponent and say, okay, our bad. We can't do this today. We need to do something else. I mean, if it's a small tweak where Tommy's missing a check down guy in the flat, I get that. I can see there being a phone call being made from Tim Beck to Gans, and Gans telling Tommy, hey, look, Amir was open in the flat, or knew he was there open in the flat. When you get to him, it's worth 6 yards or 7 yards pop. I get that part, but you can't go back and say, well, we thought we were going to see this, we thought we were going to see that. You know, we really drilled this into you guys last week. We're scrapping that entire plan. We're not going to run that play again today. We're going to be doing this the rest of the day. That is just not going to be something that the Nebraska players are going to say, okay, we feel good about the rest of the day and what we're going to be doing out there offensively.
Brian Munson, last minute with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As we lead into your prediction, Brian, let's finish up with recruiting talk here. Will this be a big weekend, even though Nebraska is on the road? How will that affect them? Is there anybody that might be in that part of the country that's paying attention? And all that anybody's talking about is this Kendall Bussey situation at Tennessee. And we've seen this before. I don't have a good feeling right now, but your thoughts on that situation and then your prediction.
Well, I think it's another selling point for Kendall Bussey. I mean, if he didn't realize that when he was there for the Purdue game, when Amir Abdullah went out, that there's potentially carries that are on the table for next season, they can further demonstrate that again this weekend. One guy to bring up this week with the game with Wisconsin, that Wisconsin's gaining more interest in Andre Davis, who is a linebacker from Jacksonville, Florida, who's committed to North Carolina. I think that this is one of those things, you know, that you're going to start to see these teams kind of bubble up now and look for those players. But I think that, you know, obviously a big selling point to Bussey, and watch out and see what it does potentially to a guy like Davis and see whether or not he goes and officially visits Madison later on in the season.
And this game is going to play out how tomorrow?
I do like Nebraska. I like Nebraska in a tight one. I think that, you know, obviously it all hinges on Amir Abdullah's health. I think it hinges on Nebraska passing the football down the field, and also on the special teams and Nebraska not wanting to go out there and turn the football over a lot. They can't get down early, and if Amir Abdullah is hurt, they want to get it out of his hands and put it in the hands of the healthy legs. I think it was 38-35.
Yikes! So. A high-scoring game from Brian Munson. Well, I don't care how they win. If they win, everybody's happy, and that makes our job a lot easier. But if they don't, then I know what Monday is going to bring. So, Brian, hey, always appreciate the time. Stay warm down there, and we'll chat again soon.
Have a great weekend, man.
The Husker Recruiting Update brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. Proven technology, easier on you for a lifetime. Here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Pinnacle Bank Arena. And Jimmy, you think it'll be that high scoring?
No way. No possible way do I think Nebraska will be able to score. 31 points is the second least we've had. We had 31 against McNeese State, and we're averaging a lot of points, 35, 38. There's just no possible way I can see this game being that high. Now, if a game goes into overtime or something like that, Doug, you know what I mean? After it's 21-21 or something, it could get, weird. But I think Nebraska is going to have to go into this game thinking, hey, we're only going to score about 24 points. Let's find a way to win and with only scoring 24 points. We have to have a game plan like that and think that direction, that the defense has got to the defense has got to help us win this football game. What's your thoughts, Doug? Honestly, do you think he's too high? Because I think it's going to be Nebraska's going to have troubles getting 24 points.
I just can't get the sense of disaster out of my gut over the last 4 days, even with the positive things that some of the analysts are saying. I mean, these games haven't went well. This Michigan State and Wisconsin are not the same team, but if Nebraska at full strength can only play like that in so-so weather on the road, if Abdullah's not ready to go, is Armstrong that much better over the last four games? I think he's better. Now, whether he's shown it or not, hard to tell with the opponents. I mean, Jimmy, this could be 28-13.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Wisconsin. And not only, Doug, it could be the other way around, too. It could be 24-13 Nebraska. You know, I just don't know if Wisconsin's quarterbacks are going to play well in this weather either.
Yeah, but if Gordon controls it, runs the ball, keeps the clock on their side, it doesn't matter what those clowns do that are taking the snap. I mean, let's face it. Who's got the better quarterback situation, Nebraska or Wisconsin? Who do you think? Who does have the better quarterback situation?
I think Nebraska does.
Okay. Let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal Star. I'm at the State Volleyball Tournament. Jimmy's at the studios. We've got Pigskin Pick'em and Mr. Langan Selections all coming up after this.
Lewis.
Yes, ma'am.
Read me the list.
Today you bought 3 sports cars, 4 diamond necklaces, 9 leather purses, and 1 17-room mansion.
The starting jackpot for Powerball from the Nebraska Lottery is $40 million, probably more money than you'll ever need.
How much do I have left?
$38,232,000.
Your list is wrong. Make that 2 mansions.
Ma'am?
You left out the one I'm buying for you.
You're buying for me? Yes!
So why wait to win? Play Powerball today. Must be 19. Please play responsibly. If you're thinking about playing Powerball from the Nebraska Lottery, think about this. The starting jackpot is $40 million. If you win, you could buy 2 or 3 new cars, purchase a couple of solid gold watches, take several tropical vacations, pay off your folks' mortgage, and still have about $39 million to sock away. When you think about it that way, any Powerball jackpot is a big jackpot. So why wait to win? Play Powerball today. You'll be glad you did, and so will your folks. Must be 19. Please play responsibly.
It's 3rd down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Boy, it's coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability in internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a free month of service. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with the nation's largest fixed wireless network, Prairie iNet Internet delivers. Call and get a free month of internet just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call now. Call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Goodwill is dedicated to helping people with disabilities or barriers achieve their goals and improve their quality of life.
Your gift to Goodwill has a great impact.
Through the work of Goodwill, people have the opportunity to achieve their greatest potential.
Goodwill helps me achieve my goals and my dreams.
People receiving services get the support they need to live, work, learn, and participate fully in the community.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Best bets for weekend fun, food, and Husker football at Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Nonstop racing starts at 11:20 from Aqueduct. 17 tracks, including Fabulous Del Mar. Enjoy a great lunch. Play Keno. Tonight, it's prime rib, drinks, and racing from 6 tracks. Saturday, watch the Husker-Wisconsin game on big screens. So race to the finish line. Number one for weekend food and fun.
Doug and Daddy's show back with you on this Friday. Doug Duda at Pinnacle Bank in Lincoln at the State Volleyball Tournament. Jimmy Langan in studio. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast studio expanding today, and it's the Cadillac season's best ever event. See Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac for exceptional lease and purchase offers. And Cadillac is also proud to extend special pricing to eligible military personnel on all of their 2014 models. Active duty, reserves, vets that are within 1 year of their discharge date, and retirees, including their spouses. Contact your Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac dealership on South 2nd Avenue for more information. And it's all right there for you today. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. Also Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and visit thinkmidway.com.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
A little more football talk as the Class A, B, and C state football finals will be played today in the six-man championship here at Foster Field in Kearney tonight. Two teams just right down from the road from each other will be here in Kearney to play as Riverside takes on, Spalding Academy. They don't have a name. They actually go by their school name, Bob Jensen. They confuse me. Let's start with six, man. What do you got tonight? Good morning, by the way.
Good morning there, dude. You're a man that is like, you need to be like an amoeba, you know, so you can split and go so many different ways. But Spalding Academy is probably going to win that game pretty easily. They have a pretty spectacular senior class. They beat Riverside by six or seven touchdowns the first time they played, and look for them to complete a perfect season.
All right, let's get to the semifinals. We've got a couple of area teams going tonight. I'm not going to waste any time. You've been picking against Kearney Catholic. There's no big deal. That's fine. Kearney Catholic's got 2 1-point wins. They haven't blown out their competition, but they've got a Boone Central Newman Grove team tonight that finally got tested in a second matchup with Norfolk Catholic. Kearney Catholic played them as close as anybody did last year in a high-scoring affair. What's going to be the key tonight for the Stars?
Stopping Wyatt Mazur. Not stopping. You can't stop that kid. I think the only way he could be stopped is if he was to not really show up for the game. The kid is as talented a dual-threat quarterback as C1 has seen for a long time, if you ask me. If they can limit him and make him really work for his yards both on the ground and through the air, then they got a shot. I mean, I thought Kearney Catholic showed some real guts last week. They were backed in a corner on the road against a team that I think most everybody thought was probably better than Kearney Catholic. And by all accounts, and I talked to Dennis Cabanting about this, the line play stepped up in that last quarter and a half, and Kearney Catholic might have played its best quarter and a half of football of the whole season to come back and win that game. So, you know, they've got that going for them. They can hang their hat on last year. I mean, let's face it, they gave Boone all they wanted on the road. And being at home will be an advantage. I don't know. Here we go again. I don't know that's enough. I'm going to pick against Kearney Catholic again, which should basically secure happiness in the Mestel home. I know that.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. I don't know if Kearney Catholic's better or worse than last year. Sometimes that's not fair comparisons, but I get the feeling that Boone Central is not quite as good. that Cozad is not quite as good, and that Ashland Greenwood of the four that are remaining in C1 is the most improved. Am I off in any of those?
It's tough for me to. I don't see Boone taking a giant step back. I would say that. I think Cozad has shown a tremendous amount of resilience of its own. I mean, really, this is a team with very little starting experience. And I agree, Ashland Greenwood is the best. That's the best. This is the best Ashland Greenwood has been in the playoff era, and it's not even close. There are several steps ahead of where they were last year. It is kind of ironic how that flips around because last year Cozad was the best team in the state come playoff time in any class. They won their games by an average of five touchdowns, something like that. Shoes on the other foot this week. That's going to be a tough place to win tonight. But, you know, Kearney Catholic, I don't know. I keep going back to that, Doug. I saw a lot of that game for myself. And Kearney Catholic took a lot of body blows, especially in that first half, and didn't, as Coach Colling likes to say, they didn't fold. And when SCOTUS scored that touchdown to start the second half, that was not a good deal. That was not a good deal if you're a Kearney Catholic fan. But Kearney Catholic came right back and scored, got back in the game, and then eventually won it by the only bush cutter that I know of firsthand who's ever accomplished anything worthwhile.
Hey, Jim Lane, hey, that's not
nasty.
Fair.
No, that's twice. I got chewed on for saying that last time. I thought, let's go two for two.
Hey, that's not good. Hey, I'll tell you that. Randy was out, and he last year in January, it was like 12 degrees out one day, and he wanted to know if I could find him some more footballs because it was finally a warm day. They were out there kicking. That kid worked really hard, and I'll tell you one thing. You know, they missed an extra point and came back and stepped up and hit a big field goal. And what a weapon Kearney Catholic has with him. Being able to kick 40-some-yard field goals in weather like this.
Yeah, all teasing aside, Langan, it's awesome. I mean, really, every kid that plays high school football dreams of what Grant Bushcutter went through last week to get to kick the big field goal, to win the big game, and it was no gimme, 42 yards. And you're right, too, Jim. That's a tremendous weapon to have. Too many schools, and there's no real reason to do this, not in the soccer age, the age of soccer, where people kind of punt on kicking. They decide to go for two. They don't spend a lot of time with special teams. Clearly, that's not the case with Kearney Catholic, who's had really good kickers for several years, and Grant happens to be the latest. And, you know, you get into a game where you need – now, forget about a field goal, just an extra point. You know, you want to believe you can make it, and there's a lot of schools that are not in that boat.
Hey, how about Class A? I watched Omaha North play last week. What's your feeling about Omaha North? I know what other people are saying about them, but what's your take on them?
They're the best team in Class A. You know, the old saying about nobody can beat Omaha North except Omaha North is certainly true. You know, they're going to play Grand Island, and, of course, nobody that follows the game is ever going to be able to say those two schools in the same sentence and not think about the spectacular game they gave us last year. That was, you know, it had to be one of the worst losses ever taken by a team in the Class A playoffs. At the same time, it was a great win for Omaha North. I don't know. Grand Island's going to go in there, going to go scratching and clawing. They've got a great quarterback in Almond. The Kahoy kid is a tremendous athlete. He's going to make some plays. It just doesn't feel, Langan, like it's going to be enough. I just feel like Omaha North's going to win that game, and they might win it by a couple touchdowns.
Kearney made him drive the ball the first two times. They had to go like 99 yards in about 15 plays and 80 yards in about 15 plays, you know, hoping for turnovers. And then right after those two drives, then Kearney turned it over three of their next four times they had the ball. So Omaha North only had to go about 28 yards for their last four touchdowns. You know, the drives were there. So I think the game will be a little closer than people think because, you know, of some of the breaks that Omaha North got. And only way Kearney High was going to beat Omaha North, they needed Omaha North to have five turnovers, not the other way around.
Yeah, agreed. I don't know. The one, and again, Grand Island, the one thing that Grand Island always does well is play really good defense. And you know, they've given up 6 points in two games. I got to be honest, I didn't think at all there was a chance they would hold, or anybody really would hold Millard West to 6 points at this point in the season. I thought that was one of the great defensive performances of this entire playoff. If they can, you know, they aren't going to hold Omaha North to 6 points, but if they can hold Omaha North to the low 20s, well, then they've got a chance to do more than keep it close. They've got a chance to win it.
Bob Jensen with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Huskerland Prep Report. Bob, I'm going to Hemingford on Monday. Tell me it's going to be worth the trip.
It's always worth a trip to go to Hemingford. I tell you what, that's a beautiful part of the world.
Don't give me that.
No, it's a beautiful part of the world. I'm just saying, I don't know. Elm Creek was awesome last week against Creighton. They didn't just beat Creighton. They bloodied their nose. That's not how Creighton loses games usually. But I got to tell you, Hemingford is a tremendous team. Tremendous, tremendous team. Ethan Skinner at running back, Colt Foster at defensive end, two of the very best players in the whole class. I think that's a little much for Elm Creek to overcome, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see it be a lot like that Blue Hill game, you know, a touchdown, something like that.
I think that's one thing you got to look at right away is Hemingford played Blue Hill. You look at the score of that game, and then you look at some of the other scores, because I'll guarantee you when Fullerton came in there, they were not full strength, you know, when they played Hemingford. I think this is the potential upset. This is the one that I look at and see that Elm Creek maybe can win this ball game. When I look at something and you're saying, hey, well, this surprised me. This would not surprise me. I think Elm Creek's the real deal.
No, I'll give you that too, Langan, because, again, just the way they did Creighton last week was it was just really impressive. Creighton has made a reputation for itself for being a big bully, for a team that's always strong, physical, you know, in your face, and they just got beat up by Elm Creek. I don't know. I still come back to the same thing. I think Hemingford has a hair too much. But again, like you said, an Elm Creek win, especially when you've got a little superstar running back like Christian Best, you know, he's just one handoff away from 60 yards every time he gets it. You know, Elm Creek's going to have a chance, and I don't know how much of an upset that would be if they were to beat Hemingford. I just happen to think they won't.
Hey, I'm supposed to say something right now. We kind of have a lull of the action. Hey, Bob, are you still there?
I am.
Hey, Bob, you know, the Elm Creek, when I look at the one thing that's tough about Elm Creek, they have to go over the entire state. You know, they go to Creighton one day, and then they go to Hemingford the other day. They're going to be going through more counties. You know, there's 93 counties in the state. I want to know how many counties they will not go through. They're like eight? I mean, you know, that's one heck of a trip. So will that take anything out of them?
I think it'll take a whole lot more out of their parents than it will them. I mean, these are kids, man. This is their life right now, except for their extensive educational study, okay? I mean, clearly, we haven't let go of the academics at Elm Creek. But point is that they're going to be full of life when they get off that bus. I mean, they're going to need to stretch and run around a little bit, but once they get off that bus and get their feet on the ground, get their head clear a little bit, it's going to be just another football game. You know, the parents, you know, they may suffer dramatically for having to be in their car for that long, but they're not playing, so who cares?
Good boy. Hey, Bob, where are you going? What game are you
going
to tonight?
If I had to pick one game, if I had to pick one game only, I would love to go to Elkhorn at McCook. 16 state finals between those two, and they have never played a playoff game against each other. That is amazing. But they're going to play tonight at McCook. I think McCook's got an awful good chance to win. But I am, in order to see parts of a couple of games, I am going to Ashland to see a rematch of last year's state final, Ashland, Greenwood, and Cozad. And then I'm going to catch the fourth quarter of Aquinas at Battle Creek. And I don't do this very often, but I'm going to say something real quick about our website, Huskerland Preps. If you like to take a step back in time, maybe go there now. I wrote a story just this morning about the greatest game I've ever seen, Aquinas against Battle Creek, ironically enough, 20 years ago in a Class C1 state final, a kid by the name of Chris Shipley. made the play of his life on a two-point conversion that gave Aquinas a state championship. And we take a little look back at that, and now 20 years later, they're playing in a state semifinal, the winner, the favorite to win it all.
Bob, as always, appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. More great football tonight and on Monday. And, hey, we'll chat again soon. Safe travels.
You bet. Absolutely. Bump, set, spike your life away there, Duda.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot. Hey, always the best. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. We're right in front of us. O'Neill St. Mary's, as expected, has completed a sweep of Diller Odell, and they will advance on for a district final rematch with Ansley Litchfield. The only loss the two teams have between each other was when they played in the district final, and St. Mary's dominated Ansley Litchfield, but they win here today. And we are pleased to welcome in Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal star. The Class Ds are getting their semifinals up played today. Ron, good morning. How are you, man?
Good. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, a lot of things going on. Football, volleyball, it's awesome keeping up with the Huskers. I guess they got a big game tomorrow. And I want to start with what we saw right in front of us with O'Neill St. Mary's. That's the first time I've got a chance to see him play this year. A lot of people say, hey, this team could compete in Class B. This is a top 10 type of team. So anytime you're not in A and B, that's where you want to get measured by. How good is this St. Mary's team?
Well, you know, they beat St. Paul earlier in the season, so that speaks
beat
a lot.
Central Catholic, yeah. Beat St. Paul, beat Ord.
Yeah, I mean, St. Mary's is a legitimate contender probably in a lot of classes. You know, they're just so balanced. They just, you know, it's a great unit out there.
You take a look at what they'll do with Ansley Litchfield tomorrow. That'll be the 11 o'clock game. You've got a potential rematch of last year's state final in D2. Giltner seems to relish the wild card. They're using it again this year, and they were the Cardiac Kids playing Exeter Milligan earlier this morning.
Yeah, boy, they had some tremendous comebacks in that match. I wasn't watching any of it. I was doing the Ansley Litchfield-Axtell match. But, yeah, I mean, they have two middles that are very hard to match up with.
Well, I had the call as you were covering, as was I, this Axtell and Ansley Litchfield match. And Axtell looked like a nervous team there in the first two sets and then played much better in the third set, 29-27. We had a unique call late in the game that you don't like to see, whether it made a difference who won the game or eventually the match. I don't think so. But Ansley Litchfield, when you look at what you saw today, will they be able to compete better tomorrow?
Well, you know, if they could get in system and get the ball to Lindsay Siegel, I'll tell you what, she's hard to stop. So, you know, that's going to be the key. And the other key is going to be Andrew Litchfield will have to serve well, try and get St. Mary's just off their game a little bit. I mean, because, boy, when they're operating, you know, everything, they're hard to stop.
We try to see as much volleyball as we do, and I know that you see, obviously, a lot more of the larger classes than you do of the smaller classes. And I had never got a chance to see the senior in Wiki from Concordia until yesterday. Siegel on the D level kind of did what Wiki did on the C level yesterday. I've seen some girls that, more so in this first day and a half, that have just been able to dominate matches. And she is one reason alone that I think Concordia could lift a big trophy tomorrow and end Kearney Catholic's run. And I mean, both teams got to get through the semifinals today.
You know, Megan Wiki, you know, she was a great player last year, and every part of her game is better this year than it was a year ago. She looks like a Big Ten outside hitter. I mean, she plays well in the back row, and she's dominant at the net.
Speaking of the high school girls, are you surprised or not surprised at the way the Rolfson twins are playing at Nebraska? Is there a lot of pressure on them, or are you surprised? Are they playing at the level they should be playing at?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to tell. You know, I think eventually Katie Rolfson will be a Olympian. I think she's that good.
Cool.
You know, she was probably a step ahead of her sister in high school, and I think that trend's continued at Nebraska. And I think Katie Rolfson in her last 2 years really has a chance to be an All-American type player.
Can you tell me anything about Freeman? Have you got a chance to see them play a rematch with St. Cecilia of last year's state final?
You know, Freeman looks like a college team when they're warming up because they have so many six-footers and they're so dominant at the net. That's what makes this matchup so intriguing is, you know, St. Cecilia digs everything. And, you know, they made Omaha Concordia work for this Centennial Conference title back in October. And, you know, they were able to dig Megan Wiki. So you got to think St. Cecilia is going to be able to extend rallies with Freeman, and it's going to be a matter of whether Freeman stays with it or, you know, they break down eventually and make a mistake.
I'll have the Kearney Catholic Columbus SCOTUS match later. They've started to become very familiar, and this year they actually played each other in the regular season. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Kearney Catholic is kind of like St. Mary's, you know. It's kind of ironic that, you know, they're nicknamed the Stars because they really don't have any stars. They're just a complete volleyball team. Very good in every rotation. You know, they have Morgan back there as the libero. I mean, she's just solid as can be. She's one of the best liberos in the state regardless of class. I think UNK got a great, great player there. And, you know, Kearney Catholic knows how to win in the state tournament. You know, they've been in the finals. They've won titles. They got two-time defending champion. I think they're still the favorite. They're going to be the team to beat.
Well, over the last 4 years and yesterday, they would have played 13 matches, and they're 11-2. That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's John Peterson-type territory there.
How is SCOTUS without Coach Peterson? How do you think they've come through? They kind of had a slow start, but they seem to be doing what they always do, strongest at the end.
You're right. They're just coming on here at the end of the season. If you look at their roster, you know, maybe they're the preseason number one team next year. They have a lot of juniors and sophomores. They're a young team, and they're getting some good experience this season that will definitely carry over next year. But I don't see them beating Kearney Catholic today.
And Ron Powell's with us from the Lincoln Journal Star, covering all of the volleyball and the ladies' sports. And boy, I wish we had time to talk about basketball and Jess Shepherd and all the signings, but let's keep it to volleyball
Why not? Jess Shepherd played volleyball this year. Come on.
Well, she's not here. For the first time in, what is it, 7, 8 years, Grand Island Northwest loses in the first round of Class B, and it took some work for Norris to get that job done. So Norris and Gretna, Omaha Scutt, and Elkhorn, how did that play out tonight?
Well, you know, Scutt's just on an absolute roll right now. You know, it's funny. They lost their first pool play match on Saturday at the Millard North Invite in September to Millard West, and they haven't lost since. They won three straight matches in that tournament to win that tournament after losing twice in pool play, and they haven't even been challenged since. I see them getting to the final tomorrow. Norris, Gretna, that's going to be an interesting matchup. You know, Gretna had lost four times to Elkhorn South and then turned around and beat them in the first round yesterday. Now the shoe's on the other foot. Gretna is 2-0 against Norris. And Norris obviously knows how to play down at the state tournament. They peaked at the end of last year and won the state tournament, upset Northwest in the semifinals. So, you know, that could be a great, great match.
Class A, it's been Papio all the time. You take the South off, now it's Papio La Vista that's the undefeated team. Southeast and Marion will have the first matchup. Thought on those two?
Well, you know, Marion Southeast, just like last year, they split their four regular season matches, and then Marion beat Southeast in the semifinals on their way to the title. Got the same scenario this year. Southeast and Marion have split the last four. Southeast beat Marion in the finals of the Northeast Invitational in October, but you know their schedules have been quite a bit different since then. Marion has had to hook up against Papillion La Vista at least three times, and I got to think Marion's played a little tougher schedule here the last 3-4 weeks, and we'll see if that works to their advantage today.
We put so much stock into what happens at the state tournament, not the all-state team or every all-class team doesn't get a chance to play here. There's a player or two out there or maybe a team that didn't get here. Is there a team and a player that aren't here that we're going to miss out seeing?
Well, there's a player, Tiani Reeves. It's too bad people in the eastern part of the state never got a chance to see her play. She's a very raw talent. She jumps as well as any volleyball player I've seen, and it's going to be interesting to see how she develops at Nebraska, because if that skill set ever catches up with her athleticism and she gets that confidence, she's got a chance to contribute at Nebraska as a walk-on.
Any team that got knocked off that should have been here?
Yeah.
That might have mixed it up?
You're catching me.
There's a lot.
I'm sure there's one, but I can't think of one. That's the thing, in Class A and B, the way they do the districts now with the Serpentine in Class A and with Substate in Class B, no one's getting left home.
Yep.
And that's the way it should be in all six classes.
You see any changes coming in the very near future to Nebraska volleyball? We're back here in Lincoln. And as always, there's going to be some tweaking after probably from yesterday to today and today to tomorrow and then next year. But are there any other major changes coming?
I don't foresee any major changes. I think they would like to use Devaney a little more than just the finals, and they'll have to work that schedule out with the university. I mean, obviously, they wanted it today for some of the semifinals for the C2, D1, and D2, and apparently schedules just did not mesh very well, and they're playing all of the semifinals here at Pinnacle Bank Arena, which I don't think is a bad consolation prize at all. I mean, this is a fabulous facility, and I think having both courts going on at the same time, there's some excitement in the building, and I think it's a good use of the space on the floor here at Pinnacle to have two courts instead of just one.
Well, Ron, we always appreciate your expertise. We'll let you get back to work, and we'll see you throughout the next couple of days, buddy.
Thanks, Doug.
That's Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal star, joining us here on the Doug and Danny Show live from Pinnacle Bank Arena, where the state high school volleyball tournament is continuing. We have got Jimmy's Picks. We have got Pigskin Pick'em coming up. Producer Jeff, what do we got in the Cunningham's Cash Vault this week?
Apparently there was a miscalculation, so we're all the way up back to 50. Kelly from Axtell did not beat you guys that week, so we've got quite a bit in the Cunningham's Cash Vault this week.
No.
Yeah.
We got an honest Joe saying, hey.
Yep.
I didn't win?
Yep.
Was this me or you?
This was my fault. Oregon State did not beat Cal, and so we incorrectly gave Kelly a win when he didn't get one. So by virtue, you won outright instead of coming down a tiebreaker.
We're giving Kelly something, though, right?
Yeah, we'll get him something. We'll give him a little consolation prize.
Maybe another Big Dally's Deli. We'll get him taken care of. Again, folks, here we go. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to ask a trivia question. If you have not went up against us in Pigskin Pick'em, then you will have an opportunity to 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. I'll ask you a trivia question. The first person to get it right will go up against Jimmy and I. You will get the, of course, Big Dally's Deli large combo meal. Big Dally's Deli, top of the hill in Kearney and across from Duncan Field in Hastings. And then, if you beat us, you get the money in the Cunningham's Cash Vault. Unbelievable opportunities to get that done. I'm going to throw a little curveball at you, boys. Here's what we go. I'm at State Volleyball, so why not ask a state volleyball question? 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. I'm just trying to decide which one I should ask, because there's a lot of good ones here, Jeffrey. There's a lot of good ones. But here's what we're going to go with. Of the two schools that have appeared 20 consecutive times in the Nebraska State Volleyball Tournament, one of those is an ongoing record. One of those teams is here this year. Two teams in the history of state volleyball have qualified for the tournament 20 consecutive years. And let me help you out. Columbus Scotus is not one of the answers. They're all over the place, but it's not Columbus Scotus. Give me one of the two schools that has appeared at the state volleyball tournament 20 consecutive times, and you'll be going up against us in Pigskin Pick'em.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Mark your calendars for Spring Valley's 25th Annual Production Sale to be held March 4th, 2015 at the ranch near Agra, Kansas. We'll be selling 100 Angus and 50 Balancer Bulls. Sire groups include Power Tool, Keneally & Focus, Infinity, Keneally Shrek, PA Safeguard, Consensus 7229, Keneally Cavalry, Upshot, Angus Valley, and Final Answer. All bulls will be DNA tested for enhanced EPDs and carry our full guarantee. Remember March 4th, 2015, Spring Valley's 25th Annual Production Sale.
For lunch or dinner, it's Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food, Bandits, where you can enjoy Saks' Pizza, the area's favorite. Bandits' famous wings, Sparky, Buffalo, Sweet Teriyaki, Garlic Parmesan, and Spicy Breaded. There's Taco Chef and Chicken Salads, Meatball Subs, and an appetizer menu, which includes Tim's delicious taco meat and melted cheese nachos, toasted to perfection. Weekday happy hours from 4 to 6, and all day Sunday with ice-cold 250 huge mugs and $2 domestic pints and bottles. Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food. Head to Bandits, 13th and 281. Grand Island.
A couple months back, my wife had an accident. Everybody was all right, but her car was a mess. She was all upset, but I told her it's no big deal because we have insurance, and the body shop at Crossroads Ford Crossroads can do it all, from door dings and hail damage to fender benders and major bodywork. Her car was looking like new in no time and with no insurance hassles. Well, thanks to a deer, now it's my turn. Thankfully, they work on all makes and models. Small enough to know you, big enough to help you. Crossroads Ford, North 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
Postseason action continues this week on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. The C1 State Football Semifinals with Kearney Catholic and Boone Central Friday at 7 on Classic Hits 98.9. And volleyball begins Thursday on Classic Hits. Central Catholic Concordia 1:30, Centura Guardian Angels 3:30, Kearney Catholic Ashland Greenwood 5:30, Bertrand Lawrence Nelson 7:30. On the Breeze 94.5, Giltner Crawford 1:30, Sutton Freeman 5:30, Axtell Cedar Bluffs at 3:30 on ESPN 1460, and St. Cecilia Elmwood Burdock on 1230 KHAS. Doug and Daddy Show rolling on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Friday. It's time to make football predictions. We always love wrapping up a Friday with that. And congratulations, Jared from Shelton, guessed Pius, the most consecutive years in the state tournament. Lincoln Pius the 10th, 20 consecutive years. It's ongoing. Bellevue West also had that record, which was snapped in 2007 is when that a run came to an end. So the Big Daly's Deli large combo meal going to Jared, but he wants even more. The Cunningham's cash. Jared, are you ready to roll?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's get after it. Here we go. Jimmy, Pittsburgh at North Carolina. I don't have the spreads in front of me, so I'll let you say what they are, and you can make the first pick.
Okay, North Carolina's about picking there, and I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
And because I always pick against Pittsburgh, I'm taking North Carolina. Jared, who you got?
Pittsburgh.
Nevada at Air Force. Jimmy?
Again, that's about a pick 'em game, and I'm going to take Air Force there at home. It's going to be extremely cold there. There was a tremendous amount of snow. I like Air Force.
I like Air Force, too. Ground attack over Nevada, who's not as good as they have been. Jared, who you like?
I like Air Force in that.
We'll take it a clean sweep. Clemson at Georgia Tech. Jimmy, I can't even believe that we are picking this game. At the beginning of the year, wouldn't this have been about a 17 to 21 point spread? I'm going to go first. I'm still taking Clemson. What do you got?
I'm taking Clemson.
And Jared, what do you got?
Clemson on that. Yep.
All right, let's get into our SEC game here. We've got a couple of them. Missouri at Texas A&M, Jimmy.
A&M's favored by 4.5, but I'm going to pick Missouri here. I like the way they've been playing, and A&M just had one really good game, and that was last week.
Yeah, I can't figure out this A&M deal. Up, down, 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 up. Let's go with double up. I'll take A&M. Jared, who you got?
I like Texas.
And our next game is Texas at Oklahoma State. Texas at Oklahoma State, Jimmy.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State. The spread there is about even.
Man, a lot of even games this week. You're taking Oklahoma State. Jared, who are you taking?
I like Longhorns, Texas.
So there you go. Do I take Texas or do I take Oklahoma State? You know what? I'm gonna give Jared a chance here. I'm going to take Oklahoma State. Iowa at Illinois. This is like a 3-point spread, Jimmy.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to take Illinois at home, but I don't know why.
And I'm going to keep riding this Iowa bandwagon even after that beatdown because, God, I don't want Iowa to lose three times and beat Nebraska. Jared, I got Iowa. Who you got?
Iowa's going to make a bounce back.
Indiana at Rutgers. Why is Indiana such a big underdog? This is the type of games they've been winning. I'll go first, and I'll take Indiana, Jimmy.
All right, I'll take Rutgers.
Indiana.
And Jared's going to take Indiana. Let's get down to really what the big three games are, the ones that are on the radio, the ones that we're going to be watching, the ones that are going to maybe influence some conference championship games. Jimmy, what's up with LSU at Arkansas?
I told you all year long, I told you Arkansas's been good. You just won't listen to me, Doug. Arkansas's not bad. They're 0-5, but they played Mississippi State tough. They played Texas A&M tough, and they're not that bad. I'm being honest. They lost to Alabama 14-13 at home, so they're not that bad. I like Arkansas here.
And what is this, a one-point spread?
Yeah, it's two now. Arkansas favored by two.
The whole world's taking Arkansas. No, they're not, because Vegas would love you to. I'm taking LSU. I'm going against everything you should go against when making these picks and take LSU. Jared?
Arkansas is pretty good, but they keep losing, so LSU.
Two games to go. Auburn at Georgia. Georgia has Todd Gurley. Auburn still thinking that they could be a two-loss team in the SEC or in the Final Four. I don't know. What do you got here, Jimmy?
I'm going to take Georgia.
Yeah, I'm taking Georgia, too. How about you, Jared?
Georgia.
And I'm not even going to hesitate here. You know, sometimes, sometimes Vegas is wrong. Florida State at Miami. Florida State has passed their tests. They are deep enough into the season. They now know not to mess around early. And with all due respect, and Nebraska fans are actually going to be rooting for Miami because we beat them, and Duke Johnson seems to be a great running back. Florida State, this being a 2.5-point spread, come on. I'm still taking Florida State.
I will also take Florida State.
How about you, Jared? You buying into this? What do you got?
Florida State.
And in case it comes down to the tiebreaker, total points in the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. Jared, you go first. Total points, Nebraska-Wisconsin. Jimmy and I kind of leaning towards low. Brian Munson, he threw out 73 earlier. What do you got?
I got 47.
Jimmy?
I had 45.5 written down, Doug.
Well, you know what? Why am I'm going to go just a little bit higher because I got a stupid score in my head, so I got 50. And we'll see how it all breaks down. Hey, Jared, best of luck on the Cunningham's Cash Park. Congratulations on the Big Dally's combo meal, and we'll see how it plays out this weekend. Enjoy the football.
All right, thanks, guys.
Jimmy, it comes down to your selections, and then we'll make our official Nebraska prediction. What do you got for us on your picks this week?
Hey, I've only got a couple things that I kind of like. I really like this Air Force team playing at home in this really bad weather. I do like that one. They're favored by a point. I'm going to take Missouri plus the 4.5 over A&M on the road. I'm taking Arkansas over LSU. I'm taking Mississippi State. That went up to 10.5. I don't know why it's going up. It was started off at 7.5. Now it's going up to 10.5. Hey, same players. No one's injured. It's just based on a lot of people are playing Alabama. So I'm going to take Mississippi State plus the 10.5. I'm taking Georgia minus the 2. I like Florida State. I'm with you, Doug, on Florida State. I like Florida State over Miami of Florida. And then the one game that I kind of, it's appealing to me because of the weather, is Kansas, who won last week, is getting 29 points. They're at home. I like Kansas over TCU plus the 29. And I also like Kansas with the under at 58.5 because it's going to be cold.
Well, it all comes down, and nothing in the NFL this week. Just double checking.
I did not take anything in the NFL this week, Doug.
All right. Well, Stewart has taken the third set from Lawrence Nelson. They are 2-1. Lawrence Nelson won the first set. Stewart has taken the next two, including 25-21 in the third. Lawrence Nelson, Stewart winner, will get Giltner in tomorrow's state championship. Ansley Litchfield will play O'Neill St. Mary's in the state championship. That will be a rematch of the district final. So we'll have the Giltner match tomorrow here or on Classic Hits 98.9 at 9. If St. Cecilia beats Freeman, we'll have their C2 matchup for you at 1. And if Kearney Catholic beats Columbus Scotus, their C1 championship at 3. comes down to this, Jimmy. Nebraska, Wisconsin. What's the score tomorrow night?
Hey, I'm just hoping it's 24-21, and I just hope we're on the correct side of it. Abdullah, you are really right about Abdullah, though. There is no way he's going to be 100%. I agree with you totally. It still means he could get 100 yards rushing, and it's going to be a key. And I think I really think head coaching, offensive coordinating decisions are going to be a real key to this game. And it's going to be reading the weather and not putting your players in bad positions. Play selection is a key. And coaches, this is a big game. And the head coaches that coach the best will maybe have an opportunity to take their team to the victory.
You know, everybody listening just said we're screwed when you said that, because they don't give Bo and his boys any credit, because it's either – it's either they overcoached him, or they didn't have him in the right position, or somebody gets hurt, or they turn over the ball. I'm going to tell you what, Monday when we were doing the show, I was all prepared to say Wisconsin 40 and Nebraska 10, and that's why I put the 50 points down as my tiebreaker. It won't be that kind of a blowout, but I'm going to, instead of being a Husker homer, I said at the beginning of the year, 10-2. They will probably get beat in one of these final three games. And that doesn't mean that Nebraska is a bad football team. So if we get in here on Monday and we're talking about a Nebraska loss, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're a horrid football team. And it doesn't even guarantee that they won't get to Indianapolis, although it will be a big knock in the face if Wisconsin picks up the win and the tiebreaker. But I am going to pick Wisconsin. I don't know if that's right. I'll feel good either way, I guess. I'll feel way better if Nebraska wins. But I'm going to take Wisconsin to beat Nebraska by more than the spread. And even though Munson and Sipple and a lot of the guys, this is one time I'm going the other way, and I'm going to say Wisconsin 30 and Nebraska 17.
Good enough, Doug. I hope you're wrong, and I hope Nebraska plays well, but I'm like you. Vegas has it. Wisconsin favored by 7 for a reason, and it's not because they know people, because a lot of people will bet Nebraska and get those 7 points.
Best of luck to Kearney Catholic and Grand Island and Cozad as they approach their state semifinal football games today. We will have the Kearney Catholic game, 6:30 kickoff on Classic Hits. Kearney Catholic SCOTUS volleyball, 3 o'clock on Classic Hits. St. Cecilia Freeman volleyball, 3 o'clock on 1230 KHAS. Husker volleyball is here at the Devaney Center in Lincoln at 2 o'clock Sunday against Maryland. UNK is at Emporia State tonight, and then at Washburn tomorrow, and some weird things happened over the last 2 days. I'm telling you what, folks, UNK may need to win both of these games. They may need to win them both, and they are 25-3 to even qualify for the NCAA tournament. I have the blowtorch ready. I have the map to the Division II offices ready in case something like that possibly happens. But the talk is that Washburn, who is currently 24-5, UNK, who is currently 25-3, the loser of that match may be on the outside looking in, and that's just the biggest crime I've ever heard of in the world of sports. Also, football, Huskers at Wisconsin, Nebraska hosting, or UNK hosting Emporia State tomorrow at 1, and Hastings College will be in action tomorrow on 1230 KHAS, taking on Nebraska Wesleyan, also at 1. Basketball at Northwestern of Iowa tomorrow for Hastings. UNK opens the season. The women tonight are at Wayne State, ranked 12th, and then 25th-ranked Northern State tomorrow. They'll also play them in Wayne. Their home opener is Monday night against Midland University. The men will have their season opener at home against Colorado Mines tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and it'll be great that the 2003 Elite Eight men's basketball team will be there, the team of distinction. So best of luck to them. And the Hastings men's soccer team plays in the GPAC championship at home tonight. The Storm are on the road this weekend. As we said, they got the guns ready. It's deer season, so hopefully all the hunters will get their 30-pointer. Jimmy, anything we missed?
I don't think we missed a thing, Doug. Again, you did a great job being there, and I was here, and I thought we covered it all. I mean, I how could we do any better than we did?
I don't think so. It's a good show. Jeff is just kicking it there as the producer, and we want to thank all of our guests on the program today. Brian Munson of Big Red Report, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, Giltner head volleyball coach Kurt Polt as they get ready for tomorrow's state final, and Ron Powell of the Lincoln Journal-Star. Lawrence Nelson is up 10-6 on Stewart in the fourth set. Stewart's up 2-1. For our producer-engineer Jeff Babel and for Jimmy Langan, I'm Doug Duda. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.